leader, even a farther three-run homer than Arquette hit. Now you're up 6-1, and once again, you almost feel like... And so Steve, your friend at the party, is, 6-1. So when he starts reporting scores and says to you, 6-3, he's reacting to that good lead the Beavers had beginning to diminish.
Right.
Then when it's 8-3, it's 8-3 Beavers, but then that becomes... 9-4, 9-5, and then in the end, 9-8. So his whole tone and tenor is built not so much on the fact that the Beavers did have a 12-0 lead on Saturday and an 8-3 lead pretty late yesterday. It's that 8-3 lead, it's shrinking. And that's the tone that he's presenting because he's a true, deep, committed fan. Now, many say, No, you ought to be. Hey, the Beavers are up. Hey, they're still up. Hey, they're up. They're still up. 9-8. Right? No, you're, 9-8. That's really the only way a true fan reacts.
Listen,
I'm sorry, but that's the truth.
Here's the kicker to it, though. He never corrected me when I said, what? How can that be?
Yeah.
Kleinschmidt is one of their better pitchers. And he never said,
he didn't say, Kleinschmidt's fine and we're ahead 6-3. He just gave you this, the impending doom feel of the situation.
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of funny in the end.
Yeah,
but
it is.
Anyway, well, I'm glad you had a good series and it's over with. Now, did you leave to go anywhere else, or are you, I don't know where Fullerton is in conjunction with Jackie Robinson Stadium?
Right. It's a hike. You take a hike, son, as Alvin Dark said to Jim Boughton seeking an autograph. Take a hike, son. Take a hike. You know, the problem with that approach is, first of all, after the game yesterday, here's Beaver players after the series, many kids and people asking for autographs in Fullerton, which is a hike from Jackie Robinson Stadium. But the following for the program continues to just be amazing wherever we go. And it'll be the case tomorrow when the Beavers play UCLA. But the problem with the Alvin Dark approach, take a hike. I mean, Boughton ended up competing against Dark, I'm sure, at times. And you know, there was a guy for the New York Giants named Buster Maynard, and Tom Lasorda saw him at a major league game when Tommy was a kid. But when Buster had a pretty good career and stays in the big leagues for long enough. So when Lasorda is on his way up or finally gets to the big leagues in a spring training game or something, Buster Maynard steps in. And Lasorda's first pitch is over Maynard's head, knocks him to the ground. Maynard gets up, looks at the kid, what did I ever do to you? And Tommy says, I asked you for your autograph when I was 10 years old. Oh, you told me to take a hike.
So
Lasorda had his little bit of revenge in that moment. First of all, you shouldn't worry. You should just sign the autograph and not worry about, I better sign this because I might be thrown at later if I don't, or Alvin Dark Boughton might beat me someday if I don't. No, just sign the autograph and don't have, but on the other hand, if you're an utter pragmatist, maybe you sign the autograph so you don't have recriminations later.
That's a Matt Vaskirjian story. He needs to put that into little known legends of sports.
Yeah.
Was there any chatter behind the scenes or anything that you know of where they might have thought to hold Kleinschmidt out for Tuesday, given that Northridge is not very good at all, and you might have gotten away with a bullpen situation yesterday, although it didn't look great, you know, as it was, because of the importance, really, for Oregon State's RPI for tomorrow night?
Well, no. In a, to answer it tersely, no thought given. It's a good question, though. But on the other hand, Johnny, did you notice, and I did, we all did, that the Beavers moved up with the sweep? Now, sometimes you play teams, and if you lose to them, or even if you play them and beat them in a one-game scenario, you can lose ground in the RPI.
Right.
But yeah, UCLA the other day had a weird game where Washington beat them, and UCLA the next day had moved up a couple of spots in the RPI. So it's a it's a hard calculation to fully understand, having to do with what all the other opponents that both teams have played did on that very day. It's something I don't fully understand, but you see that the Beavers moved to number 10 in the RPI, number 6 in D1 baseball. UCLA, I think, is number 10 in D1 now, and number 20 in the RPI with the Beavers at 10. I think it was, in a sense, it's more important. Now, tomorrow's an important game, don't get me wrong, but it was more important not to lose to Cal State Fullerton
than beating UCLA.
And to sweep.
Yeah.
as opposed to winning or losing against UCLA, which in a one-game scenario, is as much as we want to win, and we'll be out to win.
Okay.
If the Beavers go 6-1 on this trip and the loss is to UCLA, that's not great, but it's okay, and they're still going to hold their ground and even move up if they do that.
No, that makes sense. That's good to know. And I noticed that UCLA dropped 5 spots.
Yes.
From 15 to 20.
So, you know, I mean, it's still an important game for a lot of reasons. And I just, you know, the way the Beavers won these 3 games, albeit with some issues in the bullpen that are still kind of, you know, they're trying to sort that out and work it out. The problem is, Springsteen wrote many good songs and has many good lines, but my favorite of his is in more of an obscure song of his called Brilliant Disguise, which I like. But near the end, Bruce sings, God have mercy on the man who doubts what he's sure of. It's a good line.
That is a good
line. I've listened to that my whole life. And I'm sure of A.J. Hutchison, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now he's done, and then he has a less than stellar outing.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure of Helen Oakes, and he got the job done in the end, but it got close.
Yeah.
So, you know, I need mercy. We all need mercy as fans because we're sort of doubting what we're sure of and beginning to wonder if we're really sure about it after all. But they did sweep. They did a lot of good things. The starting pitching has been really good, and I think that starting pitching is going to continue to be able to go deeper in games as we approach the end of the year and the postseason, and the work in the bullpen, while still critical, they may not have to eat up as many innings going forward.
No, I mean, if you're getting guys that go 6 innings, that's pretty good. That's
like Kleinschmidt yesterday.
Yeah, right. Yes. Boy, speaking of 6 innings, over the weekend, Matty Boyd, I know he gave up a 3-run homer, but he looked very good in his outing. What, you and I talked about it last week?
Yes.
Or maybe Saturday. And then Drew Rasmussen looked really good too.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
I mean, these guys are going 5-6 innings, no runs, and you know, 6 or 7 strikeouts every time. I think
Drew looks like he's come all the way back again. Yeah. That's really encouraging to see.
So that's really good. Sydney Pointer, I rely on her website now. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's great.
It's good, isn't it?
It's really good for the major leaguers because there they are. There's the drop-down menu. You just click on every one of them, and you get the update right now. And it was fun to watch a little bit of Major League Baseball, the Guardians, over the weekend because I, you know, took advantage of that T-Mobile deal and can watch all these games. And sometimes I do yard work. I actually listen to those games when they're East Coast mid-afternoon games.
Yeah. Nice.
And it's great. So anyway, all right, I'll let you go. Thanks for checking in with me. Let's see what else. Oh, you didn't see any of the Masters. I'll just say this. It was fun. It was good for golf, and it was more attention on it from the group. I was with about 30 people at this lunch in Tualatin with the TVs on, and not everybody was into it, but they were because everybody else was into it. And we were just going crazy when Justin Rose hit a long birdie putt to tie it, and then the whole thing was just great. It was a lot of fun, and it was one of the better Masters in a long time. So,
I'm glad. And the Masters has a way of drawing everybody in.
Yeah,
you know, no matter because of the beauty of the event, the way CBS presents it, non-sports fans, non-golf fans. I've shared the story before when Tiger won it in his record-setting day. What year was that? Was that 95?
90,
whenever it
97,
was, it, 97?
Yeah. You
know, when he just had that incredible 4 days there, and hugging his dad, you know, at the end of the tournament and people crying. And, you know, I was in my house in Portland before we'd moved down to Corvallis 2 years prior. That was in 97, I think you're right. And people that we had a little gathering like you did yesterday, and people were coming in into the room where I was watching the Masters and Tiger's record-setting performance. It was the stuff of history. But these people who never even, you know, probably didn't know the difference between golf, cricket, or baseball were saying, what's going on?
Yeah.
Who is that?
Yeah.
What's happening? That type of thing, that the impact of that event. And the coverage is really, really good. I didn't see much of it. I was on here and there in the hotel lobbies over the weekend. But I do have a question because I saw this and maybe you'll get the Canzano and TV rights as you go to.
Yeah, yeah.
You do whatever you want to do. My gosh, I'm not there. You do whatever you want to do. But anyway,
yeah.
there was a letter in Canzano's mailbag.
Yeah.
And I was reading all of that, and one of the questions in Canzano's mailbag, and I think it was from Carl Click, because it says his handle is The Carl Click. Well, that's got to be our Carl Click, the sports videographer and reporter for many years
for
in Portland. But he said, is there anything more irritating and annoying than the fake chirping bird soundtrack that CBS runs during the Masters? Is that fake? Is it an acknowledged
I never
fact
even noticed
it's
it.
Fake?
I never even noticed it until I read that in Canzano's article. I didn't.
But is it fake?
Is
that
I don't
Carl
know.
Click thinking it's fake?
No, but let's.
Or is it fake?
Ask the listeners, because text me on the University Hunter text line. And the other thing I want to know is, apparently I haven't been paying attention, but when did they start playing commercials during the Masters?
Ooh, okay. That I don't know either. But yeah, I'd love to have any input, or maybe even, Sean Airey or Hogan. It could be one of the, we got to get the phoneticists out to spell that on the text line.
We'll get that.
Everybody knows it's fake. Look, I didn't know. If it is fake, I didn't know. But I'm telling you this before I go. When I listen to you or Josh or whomever over the years call games from Surprise, there are birds. There are always birds chirping, and I know I'm in Surprise, and I know baseball's back. And those early games, when I hear you the time between pitches and birds chirping in the background, so I'm accusing you now too of you and Josh and everybody running that fake bird soundtrack.
We piped
Thank
in
you for
fake,
doing it, though.
Fake
I like
birds,
it.
And that was a bird. That was a group of birds that were up on the roof thing. Yeah, that was a mess. Last question. Last question. CVB writes in. I was unaware of this. I guess there was a 5.2 earthquake this morning around where you are. Did you feel anything?
It's funny that you say that. Thank you, CVB. Yeah, my phone goes off. I'm sitting here in the Southland, but quite a bit north, San Diego County or somewhere, the epicenter, which is a ways down the road.
Yeah.
Phone. Yeah, earthquake alert. Look, duck for cover and all this stuff.
Wow.
And those are not laughing matters, but for me, I was around, I'm sitting here, and I've got to head over to the hotel. We're going to head to Sherman Oaks here shortly, and I've got to throw my bags on the bus, and we'll be on our way. But I'm sitting here reading, studying a little bit, and having a cup of Jameau at a local coffee establishment, and there's four Cal State Fullerton students. They were sitting here to my right, studying and working, and then they all started, did you see the earthquake alert? So, of course, I chimed in on the conversation, and they all were kind of, I didn't feel a thing. Nobody felt a thing. So where we are, nobody knew that it happened, but we all got alerts on our phones.
Well, that's good to know. You're safe, and you didn't even know about
it. Yes, didn't even know it. I felt them down here before, but not this time.
Sure. Well, you're a native, so you can speak to that, even though you've been up here for a long time. All right, Doc.
Hey, Doc.
Thanks
good talking
for everything.
To you. Have a good time the rest of the show. Right. And car 54 no longer applies, so it's tough. It's a tough proposition. Have a good time, and we'll talk soon.
Learn to use your app. Okay.
Okay.
Talk to you later. See you. There goes. There's Mike Parker. All right. Let me take a break and then come back. Take your phone calls and text. Now would be the best time to call if you're going to, because I'm, able to answer the phone. 497-5356 is the Downward Dog phone line, and it's also the University Honda text line, 497-5356. Good question, CVB. I'm glad we got an answer to that. And get some texts in. The phone's ringing. I'll answer that here in just a second. Take a break right now on 1240 Joe Radio.
Welcome back to the Joe Beaver Show with Mike Parker. Is there supposed to be another guy, too? He sure doesn't say much.
Well, that's changed. That has certainly changed. Welcome back. We continue here with the Joe Beaver Show, and go to the phones. Dave from Tumwater has called in. Dave, how was your weekend?
Oh, it was great, John. Great weather. Just went through my normal cycle of Saturday and Sunday. I forgot to turn the golf tournament on. I had intended to do so, but I kind of got wrapped up in actually, the Beaver baseball game, and that's where I want to start, John.
Sure.
I call in so often, I kind of know my own pattern, which is that earlier in the week, I tend to be crankier than I am as the next weekend is approaching. So I just want to kind of advertise that in advance. So, of course, happy the Beavs came away with the sweep, looking forward to tomorrow night's game. But let me just offer an alternative point of view. Maybe it's probably stating the obvious.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone who follows Beaver baseball closely, and I have a football point to wrap up with. But two things I thought were noteworthy. One's long-term pattern. The other was more short-term of interest. First, long-term, no lead is safe with the Oregon State bullpen. And I'm just calling it like it is.
Sure.
No lead is safe. It's worth repeating. And it does not bode well for the postseason. Again, just stating the obvious, I'd like to be more optimistic. The current team's a good team, but it's not the 16, 17, 18, 19 teams going forward. I wish them well. I hope they have a nice long run. But I'm not optimistic along those lines because no lead is safe. With the bullpen. The other thing I thought was really interesting yesterday, John, again, not the kind of thing you and Mike are going to emphasize, but again, my calls are always within the Jim Rome paradigm, have a take, don't suck. Well, I found of great interest yesterday, very late, is the fact that Canham benched Caraway in the ninth inning. Because he's struggling at the plate. He's overly aggressive. He's hitting into countless double plays. And obviously the coaching staff got fed up with him trying to bare hand balls at third base, and they sat him down. And I say, finally, good for you, coach, because that's the kind of thing that sends a message. So those are my two takes on the baseball front. Again, per your specification, John, I'll stop, take a breath, allow you to respond on your own show,
yeah,
and then I'll move to a football point if there's time.
I knew the score on Saturday, the final at 17-10. I knew there was a 12-run inning, but I didn't know how that broke down. Like what kind of a – because as you were saying that no lead is safe, which took me – we know about yesterday, but what took me back to Saturday's game – when you get 12 runs in an inning, and I'm thinking, you know, again, while you were talking and being a pro, I can listen to you and look things up at the same time and know what you're saying. So it's not as if I'm being rude, but because I wanted to follow up with your point about no lead is safe with what happened on Saturday, but I didn't know the breakdown until now. So you get 12 runs in an inning, you're thinking, oh, this is great, but nothing in the fourth, nothing in the fifth. They score a run, 12-1, not a problem. Then 6 runs in the sixth inning for Cal State Fullerton. Now it's, 12-7. You're like, oh, well, come on. But, you know, you're still feeling pretty good. 3 more in the seventh. Now, you did get 2 in the seventh to go up 14-7, but then it becomes 14-10, and now you're thinking all bets are off. But they pull it out 17-10. Too much of a roller coaster when you score 12 runs in a third inning. So that backs up your point. And that does need to be shored up. There's no doubt about it. If they want to make any kind of a move in the regionals.
Yeah, and just to put a point or period on the other one, it'll be interesting to see who starts at third base tomorrow night when the lineup is announced. So let's move to football. So John, I'm going to say something. I just want to advertise it in advance. I want to argue against a point you routinely make.
Okay.
Which doesn't make me critical of you or your
job. Okay. I love a good argument.
I'm arguing with your point of view, not with you.
Sure.
And the other very noteworthy thing that happened over the weekend, more generally, happened to be in the college football world. And that was the fact that the Tennessee coach cut the guy who was holding out for more money. And so here's the observation I want to make, John.
Yeah.
You often ask rhetorically or say, well, how is this going to change? And the flip side of the same coin is that you're very consistent, well-spoken, and saying you have no problem with players seeking to maximize their advantage. And that's what I disagree with, John,
mm-hmm.
because you can't complain about well, how are we going to get out of this? And yet consistently aver, as you do online, on the air and otherwise, you know, go out, young man, and get ever whatever you want. And, John, it's when coaches like the Tennessee coach and people in broadcasting like you say, it's wrong what these players are doing. It's wrong what they're taking advantage of the generosity of other people, whether it's with their scholarships or with their NIL support. And it's going to take people like the Tennessee coach and people in broadcast media to stop giving these players the pass. That's when things will change, because the only other circumstance structurally that'll put an end to it, other than what I just specified, which is pushback against it, is a collective bargaining agreement or maybe an antitrust law from Congress.
Yeah.
Good luck waiting for that to pass. So I'm just gratified and thankful. Finally, we're beginning to see some pushback against this greed. And I've been doing a kind of a running survey, because you say, well, you've got to take the opportunity when it presents itself. And maybe the younger you are, the more so that is true. But John, I will just say, and I've been doing an informal man on the street interview, I've passed up opportunities for more money. Everyone I ask has passed up more opportunities for money.
Yep.
More money.
So
it is not unheard of for people to pass up on more money.
Okay.
And so
I gotta be able to. I'm forgetting my points. As the longer you go, I'm forgetting what I was going to come back at with you. All right, couple of things. You're not wrong. It's a great argument. Now, there's a new thing that I've learned. Probably already knew it, but sometimes when you know something, you don't use it, and then someone comes along and gives it a better, quick little term, then it sticks. And that is TJ. A couple of weeks ago, I don't know what the question was I asked him, but he said, you know, this is a case where two things can be right at the same time. So I'm going to use that. I'm going to pull that out and say two things can be right. Yes, I say go, man, go. If you're a kid and you have a chance to make $1 million, who wouldn't do that? Okay, I say that. At the same time, I agree with moral high ground and character and doing things like that. The problem is these kids, these players, are not going to pass the money up if they can get it until it's legislated that they have to. There has to be rules. Otherwise, they're not going to stop, because the human condition is to get mine. I want mine. Now, you say that you have talked to people who have passed up. I have passed up one big time to stay right here in the Mid-Valley. Absolutely, because I loved it here so much, and I really wanted to finish raising my kids here. And by the time that was done, you know, I'm kind of old. I don't really want to go living out of a Volkswagen, like one of my instructors said. Never get married and don't own anything more you can fit in a Volkswagen, which is really, it's really true for the industry. It really is. So that's why I'm here. And honestly, two things can be true at the same time. I fully agree with you. It's not right when they do that. But within the parameters of what we saw early, Dave, about you know, if someone says, there are some things that I would not do that I've seen the kids do. I would not have my son or daughter do them if you know, some things that I've seen kids do as far as bailing on programs and things like that for more money. I just absolutely wouldn't. But others are going to, and they won't stop. They will not stop unless it's legislated. Now, to this I Am a Leva kid, this story shocked me, and I only got wind of it last Thursday, I think, or Friday, and great for Josh Heupel, the Tennessee coach, to say, okay, you're out. Goodbye. Because you're right, Dave. This is the first sign. Now, this is a first to hear about guys holding out like that, and then it's a first to see a coach say, you want to do that? Then go. Because, and I have the article here, no one is bigger than the Tennessee program, and I think everyone can say that about your own programs. No one's bigger than this program, and so, yeah, I mean, I guess two things can be true. I say go get it if it's within the parameter of you're not hurting anybody and they expect it and they bless you and go on, go get more money. Like, I mean, think about it. Michael Ratai comes here from Germany and he plays 3 years here and he's a 4.0 and some kind of really uber smart mechanical, you know, stuff. And someone, let's say he's making 200 or 300, which we don't know for sure. But then someone tells him, we'll pay you $1.5 million. He then is feeling so guilty, and this is all true, he goes to and keeps Coach Wayne Tinkle up to date through the whole process, and he's crying, literally crying in his office because he was conflicted about doing the very thing you're saying some people shouldn't do, but then looking at that kind of money. And so what do you tell a kid at that point?
Yeah, well, John, you're absolutely right. Two things can be right at the same time.
Yeah.
And I guess we've narrowed our range of disagreement down to a narrower band. And that is to say that it would, since it seems, given the paralysis in our nation's capital, it seems extremely unlikely that there will be an antitrust exemption in the collective bargaining agreement. So when people pull their hair out and ask rhetorically, how long is this going to go on? The answer to that question, John, is what I've specified, I think, which is people have to start saying no to this.
Yeah.
And more particularly, John, I just no way around it. People in your industry need to stop waving it on. Oh, it's just going to happen. So that's where we disagree. We've narrowed the band. But thank you, as always, for taking my call. And thank you for going on the air for an hour a day to keep the momentum going.
Yeah, you got it. And listen when you hang up, because I got a few follow-ups to this, but we're running out of time. So just keep going. Thanks, Dave. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. I'll be going solo tomorrow and Wednesday as well. Try to get one guest per day. And I managed I wasn't going to have anybody today, but Mike texted me at the last second and said, I'll come on if you want. Technically, he should be on every single day with me, but, give him a little break, I suppose. I don't get a break, but he can have one. Anyway, I'm glad, Dave, if you're still listening, I really am glad you brought this up, because it is one thing that I was going to, at least I was going to bring it up. I don't want to make a huge deal out of it, because I feel myself, you know, it's not a crutch, but I feel myself devolving every time I do shows by myself. Now, when Mike's here, he doesn't really get into that. I feel myself devolving into more NIL and transfer stuff. Whoever's on the line, hold on a second. I feel myself devolving into this stuff, and I want to get more into balls and strikes, as Mike from Seattle once said, and he's not wrong, but these things are hot and heavy right now, and including now this new wrinkle into this world of guys holding out. And I read somewhere this morning that not only did this I Am a Leva guy and a few others at Tennessee, well, the quarterback held out, and Heupel, the coach, said, okay, see ya. But apparently they were holding out before the bowl game, the playoff game, the college football playoff game, saying we want more money, but they ended up playing anyway. I don't know what somebody said to them. Okay, to the caller, we're live on the air. Who is this?
This is Dave.
Dave, hey, man.
You got another Dave. Hey, I was just listening to the last call, and I do agree with him in a sense, but, you know, it's like, I think you kind of said it. This is new territory, right? And it's not a matter of writing a rule to correct it. It's a matter of establishing consequences, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, is the guy going to ultimately leave anyway if it's a little bit more money? Maybe. But the consequences got to be, you know, what is he going to learn? And as a young kid, as a young man, that's a lesson I think most of us go through. Is, you know, leaving jobs and things like that, there's always a consequence. There's always
a flip side. There is. There's somebody that gets hurt. Dave, let me interrupt you. Let me interrupt you real quick, because you're like the other day where you get really, you don't take a breath and I can't comment. So, and you know I love you. There's a great article Kerry Eggers did, his last article with Scott Barnes, and Scott has great quotes on all of this, and you can tell the frustration in his quotes, talking about the very thing you just mentioned, the things that you learn in college about, you know, loyalty, sticking around, working as a team, and a lot of other things. He mentioned a whole bunch of other things. They're not learning anymore. They're learning just, you know, pick up and go whenever, you know, if you don't like your situation. And so I highly recommend you and others to read Kerry Eggers' article that has Scott Barnes in it. Might not be his last one, but it was when I read it yesterday. So really good stuff there. So go ahead, Dave. Sorry.
Yeah, no, I think that's great. But those are lessons that, you know, it, in hindsight, you know, Dave mentioned, you know, he knows several men that have passed up more money, and you have too. And I'm sure we all have at one time. But I also know a lot of highly successful businessmen, even within the company I work for, that have changed jobs and come back two or three times. And, you know, and two or three years, and it's the way that the corporate ladder is designed to be climbed.
Yeah.
So you can't fault the kids for looking at that and saying, well, you know, there's a lot of successful, you know, CEOs, whatever else, that jump from company to company to company and stuff, you know, took an upgrade every time they moved.
Yeah.
Because that's the way a lot of the corporate world does work. So that's another flip side to what Dave was saying is, yeah, there's a lot of people that do that. Coaches do that.
Yeah, sure.
Coaches do that the same way your players do that. So for a coach to be upset about it, I'm sure coaches look at it and say, well, that's frustrating, but I understand what you got to do. And that's probably what Wayne Tinkle said.
And although Dave, let's do this. Okay. So the thing about this I am a Leva guy, it's kind of a new wrinkle because he's signed, he's making money, he's doing his thing, and he looks very good. They want him to be, he would have been this year's starter. I think he started a few games last year, or maybe all of, I don't remember. And then all of a sudden he holds out and says, well, you know what? I think I want more money than we agreed to. That's kind of a new thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And that goes back. There was maybe a basketball player or something that, you know, this story about him renegotiating his contract. And finally, you know, the last straw was he wanted a limousine and a driver to, you know, pick him up to games and practices. Oh, and the owner just said, yeah, no, you're done. You know,
yeah.
That's the straw. So there's always somebody else that can step in and possibly do what you can, right?
Yeah.
And fill your shoes, so to speak. And maybe it takes two players to do that, or maybe it takes another, you know, okay, we're going to lose our best quarterback, but we've got a pretty good quarterback, and we've got a, you know, a couple of backs, and
yeah,
we can make up our offense in another way. And you realize as a coach, like, that guy who's holding out, he's just toxic to the program at that point.
I agree. Yeah, that's the problem. You're toxic to your teammates and giving other kids ideas and all of that. Now, all of this has to change, as noted in the article with Scott Barnes. He says, look, we got to come up with something on this because it's crazy. He said, I got into this at a different time. And he's on a committee. He's on different committees that have to deal with this directly. I got to go, Dave. Call me tomorrow. Thanks for the call. And again, wasn't really planning on getting too much into NIL and transfer portal until this situation came up with this kid. I am a Leva, I think is how you pronounce his name. He helped Tennessee go 10-3 last year, earn a berth in the newly expanded college football playoff, and he was looking for a big hike in his NIL compensation after getting his first start at the Orange Bowl. And Heupel, the head coach, just says, no one's bigger than the program. We'll part ways. And the kid will go somewhere. Now, I don't know the Oregon connection, the Dan Lanning connection. I just saw the headline in the Oregonian today. What did Dan Lanning have to do with the sudden departure of I Am a Leva from Tennessee? Didn't get a chance to read the article. I don't know if he's going to go to Oregon, whatever. The whole point being, though, that this new wrinkle of, I think I need you to pay more. I don't know. The whole thing is crazy. Let's talk balls and strikes and clubs and pars and bogeys. Man, that Masters was sure fun yesterday. I don't know. Did you gather? Did you watch? Were you stuck with it? I was all weekend, and I never give golf that much of my time. And I didn't watch every hole. I'd give it about a half hour each of the 4 days, but keep up on the scores and read about it when the day was over. And then, of course, you know, being at a restaurant at a party, which we didn't plan on being somewhere where we could watch the Masters, and it was on. And for, gosh, an hour and a half of that was just so great. The entertainment value was perfect and good for Corey and all of that. All right, let me get a final break in and then come back and wrap it up, take a look at some of your texts and some other things here on the Joe Beaver Show for this Monday. So there's nothing going on today, but we have, of course, Beaver baseball tomorrow against UCLA. That game tomorrow is 5:15, well, 6 o'clock, 5:15 with our pregame show. And then they'll go Thursday, Friday, Saturday at Cal State Northridge, which is not a good team. So the Beavers should sweep that series as well. The Mariners, meanwhile, are off today, and they are heading to, where are they going? I had it from this morning. Where are the Mariners going? Anyway, they start a new, Cincinnati. They're going to Cincinnati. They'll play tomorrow afternoon at 2:30. That'll be on KTHH to make room for the Beavers on Joe. Then the Mariners on Wednesday will be on Joe at 2:30, and then Thursday on Joe at 8:30. So no Joe Beaver show on Thursday, but we'll go 2 hours myself with Brooks Hatch on Friday. And I'll be with you tomorrow and Wednesday here on the program. All right. And softball gets to play today as well against Montana. Let me take a timeout and come back. 497-5356, the number to call and or text here on 1240 Joe Radio.
Hi, it's Colin. I know Mike Parker. Used to work with him in Portland. He's on right now with John Warren and the Joe Beaver Show on 1240 Joe Radio.
All right, let's get to the University Honda text line, 541-497-5356. Not exactly the same, but the quarterback at UNLV last year from CVB. Yeah, he kind of hid that whole thing. It came out in the end that he was trying to renegotiate, but there was... Yeah, it's a little different, but close. Yeah, you're right about that. Here's another text. I feel so incredibly bad for Wayne Tinkle and the rest of the staff, every other coach in his position. It's just a no-win game as it stands right now. The courts need to get involved and put limits and caps on it all, as it's just getting ridiculous and out of control. Great text. I agree with you. Great text. Okay. Dave writes in and says, the other reality is that this is the business end of amateur college sports, finally catching up and rearing the ugly side of business and markets, as all worldly problems do. It'll always reach, equilibrium at some point. You know, the thing about this is it's not exactly like business because it's so much of a free-for-all. You know, businesses and the way that they have to do business, whatever, no pun intended, have far more regulations on what they do. And if you look at the professional sports, you know, they have collective bargaining because they have unions, because we still have this thing, and just I'll always say this until it changes. There's one foot in, you're trying to keep it pro amateur, and you're trying to keep it, you know, school's the most important thing and all that, which is baloney. But there's still this connection with that they can't let go of. And the other foot is in 100% business. You got to take your one foot out of the fact that they're student athletes. That's dead. That's gone now. That's gone. Whoever decided to say yes to all of this, it's ruined. Now it's just 100%. They're getting money, and it's going to hurt. I think it's going to hurt women's sports. You got Title IX. It's going to eventually be a major issue when all of this is settled. And again, I didn't really plan on getting into the nuts and bolts of this today. Just the Tennessee quarterback story of, oh, here we go. Now here's a guy who wants to renegotiate right before the college playoff. Man, whoever's in that kid's ear has some, let's just say some guts. Thanks for posting all of last week's show. You are welcome. I was a little bit behind on that, but got them up and running. A couple of those shows, didn't record properly, and I had to re-record them in real time. So I got into work at 4 a.m. and just ran them in one room and recorded it so I could come back and put those up. So that's why it took a little while. Here's another one. It's a mixture of real bird sounds occasionally and recorded bird sounds, which they call audio enhancement. Robert Hirsch answers the question of, are the bird sounds real from the Masters? I never even knew about it. I wish I would have, so I would have paid more attention to it while watching. Although I was in a big party, we were outdoors and a lot of people talking. I wouldn't have heard it yesterday, but I would have on Saturday, because I actually sat and watched a lot of the Masters on Saturday. Without any noise or anything like that. So, okay, thanks for the answer to that, Robert. Mixed and enhanced. I wouldn't mind. Honestly, I wouldn't mind if I knew it and they were bird sounds because, you know, hey, it's as long as they don't make it sound fake and it's overdone, then I wouldn't mind. The birds are indeed a recording. Let's see, who's this? Is this Jeff? Jeff writes in, as I recall hearing just a few years back. Okay. What about the question, though, of commercials? When did that start? It always was the Masters was untouchable. And now it may have been 10 years ago, and I'm just completely not paying attention. That happens to me a lot. It's like, sorry, yeah. But since I was paying attention this weekend for the first time in years, I noticed that they're playing commercials, and I thought that was a no-no. Dave writes in and says, food for thought, does Ratai have a school chosen yet? Yeah, Baylor. And what are the odds? It's Gonzaga. No, it's going to be Baylor, and he's getting $1.5 million, and that's already out there. So that much we do know. Let's see here. Here's a link that has been sent to me. If I have time to quickly click on it. I don't know who this person is. So I can't really comment on this right now unless I do a little more research, but I don't have time right now. Here's a good one. As a Portland resident, baseball season ticket holder, I really like Tumwater's idea about midweek games in Portland. I thought this was a great idea from Dave. Yeah, I too would buy both packages, the Portland and Corvallis packages. It's tough to get to the midweek games now while working, but I do manage to do it. But Goss is free. How much is the rent for the big stadium and who gets parking and concessions and all that, in addition to the gate? Regardless, it would also have a great intangible of really growing the fan base to a whole new level. I love the idea, Mike and Tiger. Yeah, I agree with you, Mike. That was something we talked about last week when Dave threw that out. And yeah, it's a great idea. I think it's a fantastic idea. I don't know how much it costs. I don't know. You know what the rent would be. Would it be more because it's a bigger stadium? It's going to be 6,000 or 7,000, I guess. That Hillsboro Ballpark that the Beavers have been in now is like 4,000. So, I don't know. And is it going to have a grassy berm? I don't know. I don't know about that. Anyway, all right. Good show. Fun. And we'll see what we can do tomorrow. Softball's playing right now. I think I can get Laura Berg to join me tomorrow, and we can talk about softball and how they're doing. They're struggling. They're 500. But she lost a bunch of players in the portal. I mean, everybody does. What's going on anyway? All right, everybody. Have a great Monday. It's supposed to be about 73. And we'll talk again tomorrow here on The Joe Beaver Show.